And we're going to start with the clip. Lights, camera.
The ring bearer is setting out on the quest of Mount Doom. On you who travel with him, no oath nor bond is laid to go further than you will. Farewell. Hold to your purpose. May the blessings of elves and men and all free folk go with you.
The Fellowship awaits the Ring Bearer.
We must hold this course west of the Misty Mountains for 40 days. If our luck holds, the Gap of Rohan will still be open to us. From there, our road turns east to Mordor.
2, 1, 5.
Good. Very good. Move your feet.
That's good, Pippin.
Thanks.
Faster.
Anyone was asked for my opinion, which I note they're not, I'd say we were taking the long way round.
Gandalf.
We could pass through the mines of Moria. My cousin Balin would give us a royal welcome.
No, Gimli. I would not take the road through Moria unless I had no other choice.
Sorry!
What is that?
Nothing. It's just a wisp of cloud.
It's moving fast. Against the wind.
Crabbine from Dunland!
Hide! Eric! Hold up! Come up!
South is being watched.
We must take the pass of Carathras.
The journey of life. On the journey of life, we need a fellowship. We need friends guide the way. We need a Gandalf and someone who will guide, give directions when you're lost. Someone who will fight for us when we need fighting for, when we can't fight for ourselves. Someone who knows the way, who's been there before and leads the way, even if sometimes He takes us the long way around. That's what today's topic's really all about, the long way around. Or I've called it, there's no dead ends. You'll get my drift as we get into it. We're talking about the children of Israel. They've just left Egypt. And they get to a point where they could have gone left or right. Have you ever been lost? I mean, like, really lost. I mean, I've been lost in car parks and not been able to find the exit, but I mean, like, really, really lost. It's, you know, when I was in Tassie, they called me Compass for a reason. It wasn't because I had good direction. I just got lost. Didn't know which way was which. Tasmanian's a weird shape. It's triangle, and you could face either direction. It makes no sense. It just... But sometimes when you're lost, you know, I could tell you story after story about being lost. And it's a scary thing. At the moment you feel, at the moment you know you're lost, it's that moment where fear just goes, whoa. And all of your head just goes, oh my goodness, what? I should have done this. And you start replaying, you're going backwards and, I could have done that, I should have done this, and oh man, if we had done that, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today. If I had listened to someone, if I had taken direction, and it's a fearful thing being lost. Your mind just really starts to overtake your thinking. But being lost literally is often not as bad as being lost figuratively. Sometimes when, you know, we're lost, you can figure it out. You can get out a map. You can ask directions. You can stop and ask directions. These days we have a GPS and you can Google it, whatever. But being lost in life, where you've been going down a road for a certain amount of time and you think you know you're on the right track and you hit a dead end and you go, what next? I thought where I was going was the right way, but now I'm at a dead end. I'm lost. We have the same fear, the same emotions threatened to overtake us, where you just don't know which way to turn next. Being lost literally is a scary thought, and it does overwhelm people at times. You know, you invest a lifetime into a certain direction, and all of a sudden it just goes pear-shaped, and you wonder, what's for me next? What, you know, I've done apprenticeships and I've finished the trade, and I've realised that I'm not going that direction anymore. I'm going a different direction, and I'm sure you've got lots of stories for yourself where you thought, not sure where to go from here. But what if I told you that In God's plan for your life, there are no dead ends. That the path he's taken you on for a purpose. And even if you thought, maybe I'm off the track, God's still with you. And that when you reach the end of that path, he goes, guess what? Get excited, because I'm about to show you something that you never thought possible. That's the story of today. That's literally the story of the children of Israel. They're following God's leading. God says, okay, out of Egypt, let's go. And they head out of Egypt. And the army decide, no, we can't do without our slaves. We need them. And so they start pursuing them. And God leads these people. Go to the next slide, mate. Oh, okay, we'll read a passage. God leads these people to a place that is a dead end. Looks like a dead end. Literally is a dead end. But let's read the story. Okay, Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though it was the shortest route to the promised land. Interesting, isn't it? He didn't lead them on the main road. Everyone else is like, well, this is the road that makes sense. He led them, even though it was the shortest route. God said, if my people face a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Go to chapter 14, verse 10. They're in a situation where they can't get out. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and they panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. And they cried out to the Lord and they said to Moses, why'd you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you that this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be slaves in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Isn't that great? Here they are, they're lost. And the next slide will show us an idea of where they were. But it really made no sense where God led these people. There's a fair bit of conjecture about where they went, the route, if you like. But it's fairly common knowledge that Goshen was at the top of the Nile up there, where it says proper Egypt, in and around that area. And they needed to cross the Red Sea, so they could have crossed. Some people say they crossed the Red Sea there, but it doesn't make sense that God led them into wilderness. And some people say that Mount Sinai is there, but it doesn't really make sense that it could be there, because when Moses left Egypt, he went to Midian. And I believe that God showed Moses around the place, that he went wandering through. He met Moses at the mountain. He revealed himself at the burning bush. He spent 40 years as a shepherd wandering through this place and learning the lay of the land. And so God led them into the wilderness. The way of the Philistines is the way that they're talking about the shortest route to the promised land. The future Israel was straight through there to Israel. And they got to a certain point and said, God said, let's turn right. And the reason I've called this There Are No Dead Ends is because if you turn right, they're surrounded by sea. And it's a stupid idea to turn right. Especially if the Egyptian army are chasing you, you've got nowhere to go. You go down into that little V and you are stuck. Unless God leads you there for a purpose. It's pretty interesting to see. I watched a couple of YouTube clips on this, I've got a clip up, the thing up here. It's interesting, that's in the newsletter, you can go back and have a look at that for yourself. But they talk about this Gulf of Aqaba. It's about 1,000 foot deep. But at one point, there's this ridge that runs through the middle of the canal there. And it's about 600 foot drop either side. It's like living on a ridge of, like where we are at Kurrajong Heights, you look down both sides and there's this area that it's just got this slope where people can, it's amazing. The journey of the wilderness is just incredible. It comes out, literally they show photos and it just comes out at this spot where they gathered and they've been doing dives and all sorts of things and they've found wheels of chariots and all sorts of things at that spot where they've crossed. Anyway, there's a little bit of history. I don't know. I just think there's a lot for us to learn from this story. I think the situation's very similar to us. I think there are times in our life when we face giants and we want to defeat the giants and go, let's get this thing sorted out. But in God's grace, it's almost like he says, you're not ready to face those yet. They're too big. They'll take you down. You've been slaves, you're not warriors, you're not equipped. I think you need to walk with me for a while and spend time walking and learning and trusting. You get to see what I can do. just remain faithful, just walk with me. 40 years they walked with God and they saw God do some amazing things. And it was those stories that they learned about God that equipped them to face the giants later. It was those experiences. David, when he fought Goliath, he didn't. He beat him because of experience, because he'd walked with God. He'd fought the lion and the bear, but he was just doing the mundane things. He was feeding sheep, walking with God, writing psalms, all those things. But he was on a journey with God, figuratively, and God taught him all about himself. And I think sometimes before we can defeat the giants of our own life, we just have to learn to walk with God and learn what God can do in and through us. But for me, this answers the big question as to why Israel turned right instead of just going straight through. They needed to spend time with God. Because God could have taken the Philistines out like he did with Egypt. So why didn't he? The people needed to learn how to walk with God. That's my first point. I'll give you that one for nothing. That was free. That's not my main point. To me, I couldn't work out why God would lead people to a dead end. I mean, to lead the children of Israel into that situation looked like it was a suicide mission. So there's something to learn there as well. And I think it was that, you know, God led them there because they had no other choice. They couldn't turn anywhere else. They couldn't even run if they wanted to. God brought them into a situation where they were stuck for one purpose, one reason, and that is to show that he is able to save. I don't know whether your life have been, you've been lost figuratively and you've been stuck and all of a sudden God opens a way. We say sometimes, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. It's a little bit like this is a biblical principle for that idea that I don't think there are any dead ends with God. I think when God leads you to a place and you get stuck literally or figuratively, that God will open a door for you. I think that's great news. It gives us great hope. Even for those people we're thinking about in our lives who go, oh, they're on a journey that we're just, oh, what's going to happen? You know, they're on the wrong path. It's a great comfort to know that God is still with them on that journey and that at a certain point they will reach a dead end. And at that point they'll go, God, we need help. We're being pursued. We've got no other option. And God will be there. He'll be the Gandalf that taps them on the shoulder and says, watch this. The children of Israel just needed to know that God is in control. And it's a lesson that they need to learn again and again as we do. So you can look up the that slide, that YouTube clip. I think it's, you know, there's a lot there. I think that one makes sense. It's interesting to see where God led them. And I think our lives are no different. God led those people literally. And I was thinking about how he led Moses figuratively. I think for Moses, put yourself in his shoes. He was a prince of Egypt. He was 40 years in Egypt and doing quite well for himself. He made a couple of mistakes. And before he knew it, he found himself in the desert looking after sheep for 40 years. For 40 years, he looked after not even his own sheep, his father-in-law's sheep. And I'm sure that as he sat there on that rock looking at these stupid sheep, he would have been thinking, what went wrong? What if I hadn't, all the shouldas and the couldas and the would-haves and the fear and the guilt and all the stuff that accompanies being lost and being at a dead end, he would have been like, oh man, what am I doing here? But the good news for Moses is that when he turned 80, Elaine, This is good news for all us old people. I'm 50 now, so I can be one of the group. Looking forward to getting the pension. The seniors card, yeah, there's an ad on TV the other day talking about being 50. I don't have to be respectful of my elders because I am one. Anyway, The good thing about Moses, Elaine, was that when he turned 80, his life had just begun. It was like his whole life had been, God had been preparing him for this. And the 40 years he spent in the desert looking after sheep wasn't a waste of time. It was actually God was going to use that and say, you know, I'm going to lead my people. Follow these sheep paths. You know them. I've shown you. It's going to be fine. God's plan was for this old man to lead a nation of people, even when he thought he'd made too many mistakes. There's great hope. God opens a door. There are no dead ends. Could be an open door right there. Might just win the lotto. There are no dead ends with God. So how does this apply to me? We could be here all day if I started telling you about the mistakes, the journeys, the roads I've taken that have gone, nah, this is the wrong way. I'm sure your life's the same. I'm sure you've got lost. I'm sure you've regretted things you've done. I'm sure there's been guilt, fear, all those things in your head saying you're an idiot. What'd you do that for? Should have turned left, not right. God's punishing me for what I've done. That's why I'm here in this place. That's why I'm stuck. The enemy's cruel sometimes. There may be seasons in your life where you've spent a lifetime going in a certain direction and you've just gone, what next? It's just, where do I go from here? I've invested time and money into all of this and now I've got nothing to show for it. And you're seemingly at a dead end. You know, I talk to people and they tell me that their relationship is at a dead end, that their relationship has run a course and they've strived and they've struggled and there doesn't seem to be any hope. It's just run its course. This is it. It's the dead end. It's the end. Well, if you feel sometimes like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place and you're not sure what the next thing is, then relax. We can relax because you're exactly where God wants you to be. And that's hard to understand. And it's not easy to accept. Especially if you're in that place and it's painful and it's not easy. Or you know someone who's in that place and you're thinking, they're in the wrong place. There is great hope because God may be about to do something that you thought was never possible, humanly possible. God can open the Red Sea and lead a million people through. He can open a door for you and lead you through it. And the people you pray for, he can open doors. Just because there's a dead end, it doesn't mean it's the end for God. God loves to show his ability to save. He loves to save. He loves to direct. He's the Gandalf who gives direction and he fights to open the door for you. Don't lose hope. The children of Israel failed their first test. They got to this point and instead of saying, God, it's all good. You let us here. You'll sort it. They turned on God and started blaming God for, you know, and Moses, why are we here? You know, we told you. Relax. God's got this. Just give it to God and he will open the door. Trust in God. He is with you. He's wanting to teach us lessons that we wouldn't learn if we took the short route. It's on the long route. It's on the long way round that we learn how to walk with God, that we learn that God is actually able to save. We sang earlier, behold, our God will lead us home, and he will. Can you turn and tell your neighbour on your left, there are no dead ends. There are no dead ends. Turn and tell the neighbour on your right, don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. God is about to do something great. If you're in a situation like that, and you know, I'm sure you've all been in it. When you're leaving school and you're thinking, what next? That was a massive one for me. Where will God take me from here? God's got it. He knows. Just trust him. Pray about it and he will direct you. He'll open the doors. And the last one, God has led you to this point. And I know it's hard, and I know it doesn't seem right. And the children of Israel would have been thinking exactly the same thing when they're sitting there. Why did we take this route? Moses, you're a goose. But God has a plan. Just stay calm and let God fight for you, Moses said. That takes a lot of faith. But that's the reason we're here, with a group of people. That's why the fellowship of the ring is called the fellowship. They needed one another. There were parts in that group's life. I'm preaching from the Lord of the Rings. There were parts in that story that they needed one another. And that's why we're here. That's why we come to church, to encourage and to pray for, lift up, fight for each other as we journey this path that often makes no sense. Father, we just want to thank you that you are in control, that you are on our right shoulder, giving us directions, that you are in front of us, fighting for us, opening up doors. You are behind us, protecting us from what might sneak up behind us. You are around us. You are our God. And we're often like the children of Israel. And we get to certain points in our life and we don't get it. We complain and we start blaming each other and we look around and we think we're in big trouble, but we're exactly where you've led us. And we just pray that, Father, you'll open the doors. I pray for people who are here today who are at that intersection of no hope and they're not sure which way to go. Father, I pray that your Spirit will lead them, that you'll open a door that they never thought was possible, that you'll give them direction. You pray for those who aren't here, who are on our hearts and on our minds, who are down a road that we think, oh, they're lost. Father, we commit them to you. We know that they're with you and that you'll open the doors at the right time for them to experience your salvation. We commit ourselves to you and all the people that we love. We commit ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.